We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mike Tirico, he hosts the Mega 5 Plus Hour Kentucky Derby broadcast this Saturday, May the 4th at 2:30 p.m. On NBC. And, of course, one of the best in the business,
absolutely,
one of the most versatile in the business, without question. Mike Tirico joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mike, how you doing this afternoon?
Hey, guys. How are you? Good to talk to you.
Fantastic here in Cleveland. And as you can imagine, the excitement is, it's been building for a while. And certainly after the trade, getting Odell Beckham Jr. last year to pair him with Baker Mayfield and Denzel Ward, Nick Chubb, there's a lot of excitement here. We finally get your crew. Sunday night here, week three, the Rams come to town. I think we're all excited and all just, you know, on edge waiting for that. Has it taken hold nationally, obviously, with you folks at NBC and across the country, that, man, this Browns team is going to be must-see television?
I think early in the season, yeah. Then after that, let's see how it plays out. There's obvious excitement, and there should be this excitement. There's good reason for the buzz here. There's no doubt about it. The team has done a lot to turn around what was as bad a 2 years as any team has had in the NFL, period. And last year ended up in a very strong way. I had the game week, I guess it was 15, the game in Denver that kept the season alive there, and then beat Cincinnati and then lose to the Ravens that last game of the season. But, you just felt that the team had kind of turned a corner towards competitiveness. Now, you want to balance it with a few things. One, will everyone come together? Two, I'm a huge fan of Freddie Kitchens. It's his first time as a head coach. We all know first time anything, you make a mistake or two, you figure it out. It's just hard to do at this level. But I believe in Freddie. I think that was a good hire in the long run. And three, when you look back at last year, you always take that step back. Okay, how many good teams did they beat? Where do we realistically expect them to be? So, yeah, there's a lot of excitement. I think there should be. I don't think we should tamp it down at all. But you do have to understand there's growth to go from where it was to where it is now to where everybody thinks it's going to be. Usually those huge steps don't happen. No, a good season here truly is a 9-10-win season. Mm-hmm. To think more than that, I think, would be expecting too much from this team at this point.
Yeah, Mike, I try to temper the expectations. We've seen so much bad football in Cleveland. To think that the Browns would just go from 0-16 two seasons ago, to right, winning 11, 12 games like some fans expect this team to do. I just think that's a reach. It's tough to do. It's tough to win games in this league. You have to put in the work, as you talked about, Mike. You have to come together. You have to gel. And there's a new coach. Baker's in his second year. There are lots of things that are going good for the Browns in the right direction. But, yeah, man, you got to prove it. And that's my concern. Everyone just jumping on this bandwagon. It scares me to death, Mike, frankly, as a fan and someone who has to, covers the team on a daily basis, because I want the team to be good. I think they're good, but they've got to prove it.
Exactly. And you've both been around teams, so you can speak to this. There's a curve in learning how to win. So you can talk about players like Ed Odell. Odell's terrific. How much winning has Odell done? It's not as though he's coming from the Giants team that won those Super Bowls back then. So there's a learning curve there. Same thing when Jarvis came in. Now, that doesn't mean that as individuals they're not winners. But to be a part of a championship team takes a lot of intangibles and a lot of guys learning. Now, I think this group has what it takes to learn together. Like I said, I was very, very excited to see that the organization and Jimmy Haslam and everyone else decided that let's continue on the process here with Freddie Kitchens. There's an easier hire out there for sure in terms of experience, and it was a very attractive job, but they liked what he did with Baker, what he did with the offense, and what was being built there, so they have chosen to keep going. It doesn't mean that you're going to, boom, get to where Pittsburgh has been, Baltimore has been. And I think maybe that's the place to look within this division for appreciation. Pittsburgh and Baltimore have been good for a long time. New England in the AFC has been good for a long time. It takes a lot to do all of that. So you're talking about getting past those teams within your division and also the teams that show up on your schedule now. You know, the two teams who played in the Super Bowl are on your schedule. When you're on prime time, that means everybody's paying attention to you here a little bit. Don't think that trip out to San Francisco after playing Baltimore is going to be easy. And then, by the way, what happens? You turn around on a short week coming from the West Coast and a primetime game. You've got Seattle coming to your place, you know? So those are the things that good teams are used to doing on a regular basis. For teams that find this new, it takes an adjustment. It might cost you a game or so along the way. But everything's in place. The drafting has gone really well with John Dorsey. This team has done everything that you would ask in the last year to go from the worst franchise in the league to one that has a good chance to compete for a playoff spot. So I think the excitement's great. It's just, where is that reality going to be? We'll see once we start to see guys on the field here in the mini camps and obviously preseason.
And Mike, just to elaborate on that a little bit more, now the Browns, they have a bullseye on their back. I mean, this is right. All the talk coming out of, like, it's great for the fans, but they're not going to sneak up on anybody this year. Matter of fact, there are going to be plenty of teams, if they haven't already gotten together and said, wow, there's a lot of chirping going on there in Cleveland. So it's a lot different when you're the hunted and you're no longer the hunter.
I think it's really good for the Browns that they don't have a division game other than Baltimore until, I believe, it's right around week 11 or 10 or something like that, when they play a Thursday night against Pittsburgh. I thought if there was one of those things where they played Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Baltimore, had one cycle of the division early on, that it could be a problem, because it's okay. Look, we know you guys think you're all that now. We'll show you. And those teams would have been jacked up for those games. I still think the team's going to wear a target, but I think schedule-wise, those games that probably end up deciding if you're a division winner or if you get a chance to be a wild card, those four or five division games all come late for them. Both Cincinnati's are late. I think both Pittsburgh's are in the second half of the season, if not the last third of the season. I think that will behoove this team as you go through the year.
Mike, you mentioned Pittsburgh there. A lot has been made of their offseason, and obviously with the loss of Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell. You know, I happen to kind of think that maybe that's a little addition by subtraction in Pittsburgh, and that team can maybe get back to their culture and things like that. Like, people writing off the Steelers, I think that's a mistake.
Yeah, you know, writing off, yes. I'm a little torn on this one because I agree with you. Something crossed the wires there somewhere where, you know, Bell and Brown became guys that you move away from. Having said that, and in full agreement on the value of culture in the league and, you know, drafting a guy like Bush, who they did in the first round, who I got to see play a bunch in the Big Ten and know what a talented player he is. He'll be an impact guy. They needed another sideline-to-sideline type player on that defense, after losing Ryan Shazier to that terrible injury. I still say that's a lot of offensive first downs that have gone out of the building. Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown pretty much made every big play for this team over the last 5 years. Doesn't mean Ben didn't get him the ball, and I know Bell hasn't been around here for a couple of years, but if we go back to those guys as a tandem, they got a lot of first downs. James Conner's good. We know that. They fortified that position a little bit. Juju Smith-Schuster has emerged. But certainly when you go from being one of two to one of one in terms of wide receivers, it's a little bit different. So I question where they're going to be. But I know culture-wise that they feel like they'd lost a little bit of their plot and who they were along the way. Things were not smooth with Ben and those other guys. But having said that, it's a lot of talent you're missing, and I don't know how quickly they recover. I think it's the most fascinating division in the league. Mm-hmm. Nobody's really talking about Cincinnati, obviously. You guys are dialed in on the Browns. We just hit the Steelers. The Baltimore thing is quite interesting because when we were with John Harbaugh, when they played the Chargers week 16 and beat them at StubHub Center out in California before losing the playoff game, they decided, John told us, we're going all in here in the offseason. And that followed in the draft, what we saw this week. They have gone down the road of, we're going to play this out as a running team and run to set up the pass and play to our strength and our defense. Now, a lot of people would be scared to do that. They've gone out and done it. And I think it's one of the more intriguing stories. And those three storylines with these three teams make this division perhaps the most must-watch of any of the divisions in the NFL this year.
Talking to Mike Tirico of NBC Sports here on Bull and Fox, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He'll be on the call for the Kentucky Derby, which we're going to get to here in a few moments. Mike, let me ask you about Tyreek Hill. Very, very disturbing what came out, the audio that came out following, you know, the decision by the DA that they didn't have enough to prosecute. Now they're saying it's open again.
Right.
Should he, will he play again in the National Football League?
Well, I think the answer to both questions will come once there is confirmation that that's him. There's some sort of a legal proceeding. Mm-hmm. I mean, one thing we do is we jump too quick to absolute pronouncements.
Sure.
Based on what we hear. But every indication leads in that direction, that, you know, at minimum, he's going to be away from football for a while, and who knows if it's permanent. It depends on what they find the story to be, what he's guilty of, what he's, you know, tried, if he's tried in any of these incidents, and what the situation is. You can make your judgment at the top line here that this is something that should keep you away from football going forward. The time period will vary depending on the individual asked the question. But certainly it's one of the more severe things that come up in society and something that will be addressed by the authorities as well as the league and everything else. So having said that, you know, if you're Kansas City, you've got to be thinking that from a draft standpoint, they went and made a move thinking he's probably not going to be back. And they drafted Hardeman, the kid from Georgia. Who I've seen is a very talented player and can add some of that. But it's the same kind of thing we were talking about. To turn back to football for a second, same kind of thing we were talking about with Pittsburgh. Brown and Bell were a very significant combination for them. Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill, going back to that season opener 2 years ago in Foxborough on a Monday night, were game changers for them. They added a different element to that offense, and that continued on there even after they lost Hill last year. So now what's going to happen as we turn the page to this year? You've established Mahomes. You know Kelsey. Are there the other game breakers to maximize his talent? I think that's what we'll see and watch with interest as we look at Kansas City in the preseason and the start of the regular season. But back to the main point, look, if all of the recordings are as expected to be believed and the language on those tapes, certainly there'll be a very significant penalty, if not one that's a long-term one, coming for Hill.
Mike Tirico is our guest. He's hosting the mega 5-hour plus Kentucky Derby coverage this weekend. It's Saturday, May 4th. It started at 2:30 Eastern on NBC. Mike, let's talk a little Derby here. I'm pretty pumped about this. I'll be at a Derby party. I've never been to the Derby. It's on my bucket list. I'll get there one of these days, but love watching it every single year, even though I'm not like an avid horse racing fan or anything like that. But I think it's a fun event. I love watching these races. The favorite in this is, but Omaha Beach, and it's got, you know, legendary jockey Mike Smith riding riding Omaha Beach. Is this fairly accurate odds?
Yeah, so far, yeah. I think you're going to see it spread around a little bit. Mm-hmm. For the Derby here. There are a bunch of different horses, any five or six horses that will get increased interest as we go through the week here. You look at the big prep races, and who wins the big prep races? Roadster won the Santa Anita Derby out in California. Omaha Beach won the Arkansas Derby. You mentioned Mike Smith. Mike Smith was the jockey on Justify, who last year people weren't sure about this point going in. They knew he was good. They didn't know how good. Justify ends up becoming the 13th horse to win the Triple Crown. So he obviously was good enough. Maximum Security is the name. Another name you may hear, he won the Florida Derby. Bob Baffert, who was the trainer for the Triple Crown, the two times it's happened here in the last 4 years of American Pharoah and Justify, has a few horses. Game Winner was the two-year-old champ. Improbable has been second his last two races. And that horse I mentioned before, Roadster, won the big prep in Southern California. So no super horse coming in, a bunch of good horses. And it's a day that changes history for the ownership and the trainers and the people involved. And for folks who watch who don't follow horse racing all year, this is the one week a year that horse racing goes back to its place of 70, 80 years ago, where it's the biggest sport, biggest event, I should say, going on in our country. And people watch in big numbers. They watch for the party. Like you said, you're going to a party. They have their own derby parties. Pick a number, pick a name, you know, pretend to be a good handicapper, read the racing form, look at the past performances, all that stuff. It brings in a variety of people. And I will say, covering it the last 3 years, everybody says it's the greatest time. I'm on TV for 5 hours. Those of us on the air, we're a few of the sober people there.
Not many of you.
Everybody else, we can tell you, is having a great time. We yeah. cannot say that it's a great time from our own personal experience. It's a great event to cover. But trust us, the people we see around us are having a great time. So if you ever get the chance to go, you should.
Yeah, I have gone. It is incredible. I want to ask you one more thing here, Mike, and we'll get you out of here with this. Cleveland is kind of it's taken over some of the excitement with Columbus Blue Jackets and the Stanley Cup playoffs. Obviously, in Columbus, they're going nuts. But even here in Northeast Ohio, people excited. What do you make of that series now knotted up at a game apiece? And obviously, you guys have coverage on NBC.
Yeah, and I dipped in, got a chance to do one of the first round games with the Islanders in Pittsburgh. It's funny because I was going to end up on one series or another, and you watch the two series that became sweeps. They were Tampa Bay with their unbelievable regular season and 62 wins, and Pittsburgh with Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, team that had won the Cup two of the last 3 years. And then you get the defending champs, Washington, knocked out. So it's kind of opened this thing wide in the East, especially with Carolina winning the first two games in Brooklyn against the Islanders. And that had me looking at this a little bit differently, because Boston was probably the team of those four, Islanders, Carolina, Columbus, Boston, that you'd say, you know, the Bruins look like they've got a pretty good path here to the finals now. They've got the most playoff experience. They've got the depth, the high-end players left. If you took star players who were left, you'd say, yeah, Boston's got them. But Carolina did exactly what they did to Tampa. They kind of controlled the game. Bobrovsky has played well in net. Panarin, you know, has been terrific. Full credit to the entire management in Columbus that made the decision to go for it. And they could be rewarded by getting to the Cup final. And what a season like this does, guys, like you said, here are folks in Cleveland now paying attention to the NHL, which really hasn't happened since the Barons, right, back in the 70s, which
nice
is
reference.
Predates
That's
a lot
awesome.
Of your listeners, I'm sure. Yeah, it predates a whole bunch of your listeners. So this could be, if they can win this series, get to the Eastern Finals, get to a Cup Final, this is the type of run that gets people hooked into a sport and they become long-term fans of a team. And it's an impact thing for hockey. You know, I was out in San Jose for something else this week. There's Sharks fever everywhere. You know, you don't think of San Jose as a market up there with Toronto and Montreal, but you go everywhere and there's Sharks teal. It goes back to their runs in the playoffs. So this could have long implications beyond just a nice month here. You may develop fans in Northeast Ohio who are thinking, you know what, it's a quick drive over. I'll go over and watch the Blue Jackets. I'll watch the Blue Jackets on, you know, my regional sports network. And all of a sudden, you've got a team that's built a real solid base. So these next couple of weeks could be really important for the long term of the franchise. Short term, it's great hockey. And for the folks who haven't watched, who maybe are getting hooked, I got to tell you, I've covered playoff basketball. Playoff hockey kicks the butt of playoff basketball. It really does. Almost every game, either team can win. The excitement is nuts. What the guys do physically night in, night out is extraordinary. I love being a part of it, and covering it was awesome. So the folks who are getting hooked, you're getting hooked on something pretty good, I'll tell you that.
Well, he's Mike Tirico, without question, one of the best in the business. His talent really knows no boundaries. He'll have the Kentucky Derby coming up this weekend. 5-plus hours of coverage this Saturday, beginning May 4th at 2:30 on NBC. Mike, an absolute pleasure to talk to you this afternoon. Keep up the great work, and hope to do it again real soon.
Yeah, we'll talk before football season for sure. It was great being on with you guys. And if I remember right, I kind of forgot this. I think I think the Blue Jackets-Bruins game is on right after the Derby on Saturday night, Game 5.
Bring it on. Party, yeah, party, so, party.
Party on.
We right, might exactly, not be right, sober.
Right. Right from your Derby party to your Blue Jackets party. So have a blast. So thanks for having me on, guys.
Mike,
really
you're the best.
It.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.